Expectations. As a Christian, what are your expectations? How do you want to grow? How does your, what do you want to see out of yourself? Also, I want to ask you at the same time, what do you expect from others? You know, I have a horse right now that I'm trying to break. He has the breeding. He has great expectations, you might say. But the thing is, he's a nut job. That's all there is to it. He's just a nut job. I have high expectations of him. I think he has great potential to be one of the greatest cow horses in the area, but he's just a nut job. Ask you as your Christian walk today, your expectations, are they reasonable? Are they what God wants for you? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 13, verse number 17, it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. And my two devices problems already. I'll back up a little bit. Expectations. Webster's put it as a feeling or a belief about how successful or good someone will be or something. We want to look at expectations of people that we just come in contact with in a day-to-day basis. You know, if they don't have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and they don't have, have a God, you could say, what expectations do you hold on that person? What would bind them to do a good job or to have any morals? 1 Peter 2, 13 and 17 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praises of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of malishness, but as a servant of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Do you have expectations of people to have morals? I guess you could say. Is that a reasonable expectation if they don't have any guidelines to be moral? So with that, we're going to go through a couple of verses and look at the expectations in general that we should have, not just for ourselves, but as we see ourselves, but as those that are around us. We have an audience full of a lot of parents. So we're going to start with you. Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. Says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, we try, Brian and I, very hard to teach our boys about God and about Jesus. And, here recently we got a show steer. We have two show steers. And, something that we're trying to teach them with these animals is a work ethic. You know, when I was reading this verse, I realized that, you know, there's a lot of people in this world that do not know our Heavenly Father, but there's a lot more that don't have a work ethic either. You know, I'm not in the business of having people under me or working in the public and working with a bunch of different groups of people or anything, but some of the people that I do know do that kind of stuff, and they say one of the worst things you do is you say you just have people that are lazy, they just will not work, won't show up to work on time. That never have had to hold a job. What are your expectations of them and of your children, especially? Those are the ones that, as parents, that, you know, if we fail at everything else, I hope that we don't fail at that. is training them up in the way that they should go, not only knowing our Heavenly Father, but also surviving in this world and being a contribution to society. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. For us fathers here, it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach them about our Heavenly Father." 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and worse than an infidel." No, our families, men, expect us to provide for them. Proverbs 29, verse number 17, he says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. He shall give delight unto thy soul." My grandmother in Austin, she has a lot of neighbors where she lives, and she said one of the worst things is, she said there's always one of them that has a grandson or a great grandson or granddaughter on drugs or in jail or pregnant out of wedlock. She said it all the time. It happens on a day to day basis. Of course, she has a whole lot more neighbors than I do, but she said one of the greatest things that I can tell them is that, you know, out of my whole family, I think she has 20-something grandkids. Only two have been divorced, which I know we don't think of that as too good of a thing, but in today's society, that's outstanding. Have high expectations for your children. You know, help them to strive to do great things and good things. Children, we have a couple of short ones on the front row. Hello, Jack. Children, Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4 says, "And you fathers," two devices. Look at husbands. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25. "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." First Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Hang on a little bit of what Brother Richard talked on this morning. Honor the wife. You know, it's Ephesians 22 and verse and 5 and 22 and 23. The wives are submit themselves unto their own husbands. Husbands, if you're not doing the role that you're supposed to be doing, how hard is it for your wife to submit to you? You know, I agreed with Brother Richard's lesson this morning. I thought it very suiting for Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. But how hard would it be to submit to someone who doesn't follow the same beliefs that you do? You know, that's not being the type of person and taking responsibility for their actions and the way they conduct themselves. So husband, your role needs to come first, because you can't submit to somebody who is, you know, my horse, he's not going to submit to me if I'm going to be rude to him and not teach him what he needs to do. If we're always fighting with one another and not working together, I might as well turn him into glue. We're going to pick on our leadership in the church a little bit. What expectations do you have on the leadership of the church, on the elders and the deacons? What roles do you think they need to be playing and the things that they need to be doing? In 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 through 5, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and the witness of the suffering of Christ, and also the partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Going on there, verse number 5, it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." Do you expect the elders to do all the work? To go around and to be the only one trying to bring people into the church? I know there are some churches that are like that. They expect the elders, or not necessarily the elders, but the deacons to do all the work. In these verses here, they are to look over those that are in the church. James chapter 5, verse number 14 says, "Any sick among you, let them call on the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." They are to take care of their flock. Deacons. 1 Timothy 3, verse number 12 and 13 says, "Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their household well. For they that have use of the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." Excuse me. Deacons have a role to speak with great boldness in the faith, to be leaders. As well, the military has a rank structure that everybody's well aware of. You have the more stripes you have, the higher up on the totem pole you are. But as in anything, it has a rank structure for a reason. You have one man over two men over seven or eight men over two or three dozen. We have two elders and two deacons. Two elders look after the deacons look after the flock as well. And we kind of spread out the branches so we can help more people. That's why these men were appointed, to help the flock, to help them grow in times of need, to help make decisions. Now for the majority of us members, what are your expectations in the church? Colossians 3 and 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." We are to worship our Heavenly Father Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, let us consider one another and provoke unto love and to good works. The world that we live in is not pretty, and most of us are well aware of that. There's a lot of things that go on that we do not agree with. And if you're not careful, it can drag you down, and it can put you in a bad mood real easy, real quick. The devil will get a hold of you through many different ways. You know, this isn't a battle that we have to fight alone, and we shouldn't fight alone. We have brothers and sisters in Christ for a reason, to exhort one another into good works, to encourage one another to keep the faith. You know, my neighbors, they expect me to be there for them whenever they need me. You know, if Monty needs a rattlesnake killed in his front yard, I'll be more than happy to lend him a shovel. Eddie Good's arms length stiff, you know, take that. Be there for one another. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Romans 16 and 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. You know, not only helping one another to stay away from the world, but to also warn them. You know, there would be a lot of times if somebody would have given me a heads up, I wouldn't have fallen to that hole. I don't condone gossiping by any means, but there are some times that there's just bad people that you don't want to get caught with, and you don't want to head down the path that they're going. And every once in a while, an innocent bystander like myself will be walking along and befriend these types of people. And next thing you know, before long, it's just a windy, dark road that you do not want to go down. We need to warn each other of these kind. Romans 12, verse number 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 says, let us hear the whole matter, the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now this is the expectations that I set not only for myself, but that I have for just about everyone that's here. You know, we're striving to keep his commandments. And that's one of the reasons that we gather here together on the first day of the week. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10 says, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The expectation of being faithful and always turn to him for answers, and trusting in him that, in God, that he can help you. Looking at all these things, these expectations, honestly, are not too hard. If you'll just follow the commandments that our Heavenly Father has set forth for us, and to do what he would have us to do. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Our Heavenly Father has expectations of us to repent, to come to Him. John 3:15 says, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. He has expectations of us to teach others that none should perish. If we don't have these expectations for ourselves to bring others to Christ, who's going to? If I don't try to reach my own family members, can I count on somebody else to do it? Do I know for certain that other people have that same expectation as I do to reach those that are lost? You know, we can try to put it off on somebody else and say, you know, can you, you know, our evangelists, our elders, our deacons, other members of the church. It's like, hey, you're pretty good with words. Why don't you try to reach this person? What about yourselves? One of the most important things, lessons that I've learned throughout my short life is that one is slow is smooth and smooth is fast from Granddad. And another one is don't ask anybody to do something that you wouldn't do yourself. It's hard to have expectations of people if you don't have those same expectations of yourself.